Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys Podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Preacher Boys Podcast. For those of you tuning in for the very first time, my name is Eric Skwarzynski. I am a former fundamentalist who grew up in the independent fundamental Baptist movement, and I'm shedding light on abuse and religious high control groups that exist all over the country and around the world. I interview survivors first and foremost, but I also interview experts, therapists, analysts, historians, and more that can dive deeper into the where, what, when, and why all these sorts of abuses are able to take place. And so I really hope you'll enjoy this show. But before I dive into today's topic, I want to share two other podcasts that listeners of this show would probably enjoy. The first is a podcast that I am actually a co-host on. I have two other hosts, Travis and Jackie Chappell, and that podcast is called Figuring It Out. If you've noticed, I've been a little bit quiet over the last couple of weeks on social media. It's because we've literally been batching out tons and tons of episodes for the last couple of weeks to get way ahead of our release schedule. And so we've got a ton of great content that's coming out there. I have links to all of that in the show notes of this episode. But essentially on Figuring It Out, we're going to be doing just that. We're going to be trying to figure it out. And for those of you that want more conversations around deconstruction, you want a little bit more lighthearted discussion about religion, philosophy, so on and so forth. It's a bit of an unbuttoned, casual approach, just three friends talking about trying to figure out where they stand, what they believe, and what the meaning of life truly is. So I know some of you are really interested in conversations like that, and some of you decidedly are not. If you are in the first camp, be sure to go check out Figuring It Out. And the second podcast I want to mention is a shout out to the Psychotherapy Podcast hosted by my good friend Leah Denton. And on the show, she interviews survivors of therapy abuse and people who've experienced really negative harm as a result of going to the wrong therapist. And her very first episodes are actually with someone who's been on this very show, Amy Nordhues, who is an author that wrote the incredible book Breaking Free. She is one of the first guests on there. So if you want a cool Preacher Boys crossover, go over to the Psychotherapy Podcast and check out her interview with Amy. But all of the work that Leah is doing on the show is incredible. It's super well produced. It's really great to listen to. And I was on a flight a couple months ago and just was binging through episodes on the flight. So be sure to check out the Psychotherapy Podcast. Again, I have a link to that in the show notes of this episode. But now for today's topic, the one that you're here to listen to, I am sitting down with Ashley Easter, the founder of Courage 365, a nonprofit that equips survivors with resources to assist in their healing journey. And in today's episode, we're going to briefly talk about the diversity of the survivor community and the fact that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to the healing journey. Let's get into my conversation with Ashley Easter. Today, I want to talk a little bit about inclusivity and diversity when it comes to healing and to these conversations. And I know I was just telling you off mic, Ashley, that a lot of times people feel a variety of different ways. One, they feel like their exact context isn't represented in some forums online or in some podcasts. There's people who feel maybe they don't have enough of a story to be part of the quote unquote hashtag survivor community. I put myself in this camp. You know, and so there's people who are coming into this going, I don't see myself represented in popular media around these topics, in the books I'm reading. So why do you think it's important to have diversity in the conversations about abuse because, yes, abuse is abuse and it's bad in any context. But when it comes to healing, why do you think it's so important to have specific branches dealing with individual contexts and perspectives?
What we have to remember is abuse is abuse, but people's experiences of the world are very different. So certain types of abuse may be more prevalent in this community or that community or this type of person or that type of person. But even beyond that, a lot of times classic abuse terms intersect with other types of abuse that we don't necessarily always put under that category. So for instance, a lot of my LGBTQ plus friends, not only did they experience abuse in like a sexual or physical or spiritual sense, but layered on top of that, there was additional abuses about their identity. And so it wasn't even just this one thing. There was like another layer on top of it. Same with my Black and Brown friends and Indigenous friends. They often come from a different part of society where there's already stereotypes and things kind of placed on them already that's heavy. And then you have abuse trauma that comes in there. And so they just kind of like intermingle and it just makes it very uniquely different from my experience as a white woman. I think it's the same between me and you, Eric. You know, your experience in an independent fundamentalist Baptist church and my experience was very different because you're a man and I'm a woman, but also because we had different church communities. Also because I had a grandfather, two grandfathers that were pastors in that, but, you know,
in different parts of the country.
Yes. Like
even the cultural elements around it are so different.
Yes. Yeah. All of that. I think when you're talking about healing and looking for resources, not only are you looking for some of like the across the board basic things about trauma, but you also have to realize that it impacts people uniquely and do our best to try to create spaces for people to deal with those things uniquely.
Yeah, I think that context is so important. And also, I think this kind of goes into the broader conversation around like comparison, because I think so many times, you know, we want to have like the trauma Olympics of like, hey, I went through more, or you didn't go through as much, or more often I find with people, including myself, I look at somebody and go, well, like they really had something bad happen and, you know, I was fine. And it's clear when you have a conversation with someone, especially outside that world, like it wasn't fine. There was a lot of things that happened that weren't okay. And I think it's okay to have your own experience and point of context. And also to remember, like, there's some things when we get to like the system of abuse that we experience that maybe don't look as bad, but were equally harmful. I want to, with purity culture, for example, I was on a podcast recently and I started to say, and it's amazing how many things I like find myself disagreeing with myself about when I'm saying them, but I said, hey, guys got it easy in purity culture. Girls got the brunt of it. And that is true in terms of girls got more dress standards. Girls got more harmful teaching about, you know, their bodies and a lot more shame. But as I was saying it, I was like, well, guys didn't get any better teaching. We were taught to shut off our emotions. We were taught that we're uncontrollable sexual beasts that, you know, we're supposed to conquer, you know, the women around us. We were taught that, you know, it was gay to be, you know, to feel in touch with like any part of yourself other than, you know, anger and righteous frustration and in sexual urges. And there was all of these layers on top of it that were equally harmful. They just trained us to be abusers and trained women to be abused. And both of those things need to be unlearned, and both require an emphasis and focus in the dialogue about that, because it is helpful for me to read a woman's book on purity culture, but it's also good for me to talk to other guys who are now, you know, trying to dissect the Andrew Tates of the world and the Jordan Petersons of the world and seeing the similarities and being able to identify that toxic teaching moving forward. And so I think not comparing, but realizing how you entered into these environments or these situations and how it affected you personally. Mm-hmm. I think in addition to that comparison, though, I think sometimes we can expect people to just try our method for healing and it should work for them just like it worked for us. How do we go about allowing other people to kind of find their path as they're kind of dissecting these topics and figuring out that path for themselves? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's back to school season, and it's a great reminder for everybody how important education and personal development truly is. And therapy has been an amazing tool for me to improve my outlook on life and my day-to-day experiences. I started using BetterHelp a couple of months ago, and honestly, when I started using it, I was skeptical as to whether or not therapy would be helpful for me specifically, and the way life has worked out has been an amazing case study in how valuable therapy can be. Shortly after signing up, I experienced some major life transitions, including major shifts with my career, adjustments to my living situation, and even the passing of a family member, and my therapist was there to walk through all of those things with me. I don't like promoting services or products that I don't use for myself, and I can honestly say that meeting with my therapist every single week has become an absolute highlight of my month for me. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to anybody's schedule, including an insanely busy podcaster. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/preacherboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/preacherboys. All right, let's get back to the show.
Well, I think some of that starts with understanding what happened to them and kind of back to what you were saying about different, like the experience could be different, but the effects could be the same or similar. Trauma doesn't discriminate. So whether right. you receive trauma because you were in a terrible car accident and now you have PTSD from that, or from, you know, almost drowning in a lake, or from sexual abuse, your body often goes through the exact same types of responses that are uncontrollable and out of your ability to stop until you learn different healing tools. So I think part of it is, like you said, not doing the comparison thing, but doing the internal thing, working with yourself, working with a therapist and discovering like, what are the actual things that are bothering me? Not what does every other survivor experience, not, you know, and there will be some similarities, but what is affecting me? And then coming up with a treatment plan or coming up with a healing journey for yourself or with a professional helping you to address those things. So if you don't know kind of where your challenges are, how can you really know what's going to work on those things? So for me, I have a multi-track healing journey. There's times when I work on eating disorder stuff. There's times when I work on abuse trauma from the past. There's times when I go to a therapist and other times when I go to a massage therapist, or I read books or I talk to people who've had similar experiences. But each of those things are in service to healing these specific things that are bothering me. So I think you first have to evaluate like what is actually causing discomfort and harm and disruption in my life. And then what tools for me are going to help me solve those or ease those or cope with those things to move forward. So I think that's sort of how a person has to evaluate it. But the other thing is, I think in a Western culture, we really like to diagnose people and then give them like a 5-step plan. Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's simple. You can write it down. But there's so many different ways to experience healing. I know that meditation has been powerful for me, which is more of an Eastern thing. I know that, doing some dance has been very healing for other people. And so a lot of it, I think, is exploring the options that are out there, and combining that with understanding what is causing you discomfort.
The effects of trauma are similar in everybody, but I think that pathologizing people to go, it's this thing. And there's this, like you said, this five-step plan. There's been resources that I've read that encourage things that I've tried that is terrible, like for me, that have been very helpful for other people. You mentioned meditation, like we did. We did a group meditation. I think I just talked about this on some podcast or some past episode, but we got together and we did a group meditation for 10 minutes. And that was like my least favorite 10 minutes of like the entire retreat. Because like the minute it was like, be still, breathe in, I felt like I'm on fire. I need to get out of here, you know? And like that for me was my reaction. So like there's other things that are helpful. Like for me, it's being in motion, and for other people, it's being still. And like, there's different paths for everybody. And again, a lot of that is probably influenced by the context, you know, like there's a lot of things for me that feel, if they feel too religious, where it reminds me of something, I don't want to do it. If there's something for other people that maybe feels too mystical and it feels off for them, maybe they don't want to do it. For others, they may feel right at home in a different environment that feel so scary for someone else. What are some ways, I know Courage 365 has put together a lot of community focused groups. So there's, you know, the Courage Clubs with different people, 30 Days of Courage with, you know, kind of topic focused things. What are some ways that Courage 365 as an organization has tailored its different services to meet unique needs of diverse communities?
So one of my favorite things that we're doing right now is our Courage Clubs, and they're basically peer-led support groups. We go through a curriculum, and each person who is leading the curriculum, they'll have a different experience and background. And so while everybody goes through the same workbook, the people who are leading them have entirely different perspectives. So they're going to read this section, and then they're going to describe how that applies to their life and their experience and the community that they are working with in their Courage Club, and kind of making it unique to them. When we've had the 30 Days of Courage, we try to bring in all different kinds of survivors, you know, just from, you know, people across the race spectrum, across the sexuality spectrum, different types of experiences of abuse, just so we can have these conversations about, you know, yes, there's some shared things, but there's also so many differences, and people want to be heard and have others kind of represent their challenges. Another thing that we did a couple years ago on the Courage Conversation Show, we still have those episodes available, is we had Alexis Douglas come in, and once a month she would talk about kind of the intersection of abuse and race and racism and those types of things. And so that was very educational and helpful to our community. So we're always looking for ways that we can see the diversity in the survivor community and amplify leaders who kind of represent those groups in a way. So there can be inspiring heroes and inspiring survivors and advocates that people who are feeling the same thing can realize, like, okay, I'm not alone. And there's other people who've gone through this and they've navigated it. And here's some tools specific to me and my experience.
For anybody listening, I think the Courage Clubs are probably a great place to start. If you're somebody that doesn't want to sit in a group of people and talk, and again, that might not be the thing for you, there's resources on the site that are helpful as well that are kind of like individual focused, but I think groups are a great way. Courage365.org/clubs, and you can sign up to be informed when those groups start up. But I think that's a great place to kind of start finding, whether it's just saying, hey, this is a group for guys, or hey, this is a group to deal with issues that I've experienced with domestic violence. Like, it's a lot more curated for your specific needs. So that's probably a great resource for you to check out. But as always, if you're looking for something specific, joining the Courage 365 Facebook group is probably a great place to ask and say, hey, I feel this way, I experienced this, what have other people found helpful? And you'll probably get some really good answers in there.
We also have a need help page, which is like a very intense resource list. And we do try to list different organizations or resources that are specific to different groups of survivors. So if we don't specifically provide them, you may find them on that list. So that's also available.
As Ashley just said, there's a ton of great resources at courage365.org. There is a huge list of free ebooks. There's a lot of links to other websites and materials that you'll find useful. So visit courage365.org and click either the free resources tab or the need help tab, and you should be able to find something that'll help you in your specific healing journey.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.